In my chapel address last week, I had the privilege to point out to you the incredible power of our Savior's love. Today I want to ask a follow-up question. Is love something that we associate with the lawyer profession? What defense attorneys do on behalf of their clients? Probably not. In fact, if we lived in a world of perfect love, there would be no use for lawyers of any kind. We could even point to the opposite, how hatred and greed lead to sins that become crimes, and these are the cause of courtrooms, judges, jails, and lawyers in existence today. Well, be that as it may, can we still make a connection between love and a lawyer? We can, we should, by thinking of Jesus. The Bible does say about him in 1 John 2, and the key word here is advocate. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. On this morning of Ash Wednesday, let's add to that wonderful truth something else. Let's take a moment to watch our advocate in action on Good Friday. And hear the world's only loving defense attorney speak on behalf of his clients as he prays for his enemies from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Try to imagine it. Put yourself in the place of Jesus. If you were getting unjustly executed at the hands of hateful men who stop at nothing to see you dead and inflict a horrible dose of pain in the process, would you be thinking the way Jesus did? Would you seek from God the forgiveness of your enemies? The way Jesus speaks here is so impressive. Truly, it's the power of love at work. He goes to bat for those who want his death. They sin so horribly against him, and he pleads their case. Though he's the victim, he becomes, in essence, their lawyer in the courtroom of God. And good thing for us, those men on that day were no special exception. As we heard in 1 John, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. To this very day, Jesus is before the Father pleading your case and mine. And the Father listens, just like he did back then. The Father answers with a verdict of not guilty for the clients of Christ. The Father forgives completely, not only because his Son is asking, but especially for this reason. When the Son of God took the punishment you and I deserve, he made it count as our propitiation, which means the satisfactory payment that settles it in God's court. By the way, the whole courtroom analogy from a human perspective comes up short in demonstrating the full extent of what God is doing. I'll give you an example. If a man goes on trial for, let's say, armed robbery, and he's found innocent of that crime, the judge does not declare him to be morally pure of any other wrongdoing. No, it's just that one case, that one crime, that one verdict, that's it. In God's court, on the other hand, because of who Jesus is and what Jesus did, God does declare the client of Christ, to be a person who has kept every commandment and avoided every sin. It happens through the wonder of substitution. Jesus took your place and carried out your obligation to live a perfect life, which includes this command: love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In God's court, it really comes down to one big issue. Have you met the absolute requirement of perfection? To our surprise, God says yes, because Jesus did this for us. So when he prays, "Father, forgive them," there can be only one answer to that. We hear it in Romans. God is the one who justifies the ungodly. We hear it in 2 Corinthians. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. When Jesus prayed for his enemies that day, he was seeking the pardon of men who did not believe at the time. This also shows the power of God's love at work, what his grace is able to accomplish. God is determined to remove the barrier of every person's sin, not just that of the believers. Jesus came to take away the sin of the world, whether people believe it or not. You and I can be sure that God has forgiven us completely because God has forgiven all completely. And when the gospel comes our way, what we need to be saved, faith, God is also working in our hearts so that we are what we need to be, justified by grace through faith in Christ. Unconditional forgiveness from God, perfect righteousness from Christ. These go hand in hand as the gift from the cross to you. A gift that we can never afford to ignore or treat casually or abuse. You do not seek God's forgiveness to sin all the more. You seek God's forgiveness rather as water for your thirsty soul, as the open door to heaven itself, as the certainty of God's presence with you and his blessing of you here on earth. So when you hear the accusations of your conscience, when charges are brought against you from God's law, take it to heart. And then listen to your loving lawyer. He fights for you. He wins the case. He causes the supreme judge to keep that verdict in place. You're spotless. You're righteous in Jesus. That settles it up there and in here. That settles it today and on the last day too. Let us close our worship today singing hymn 220, the first three stanzas of hymn 220, first three stanzas.